Matthew chapter 9. While you find Matthew 9, can real quick, go to Proverbs chapter 4, a verse that we shared with our staff earlier in this week. It has nothing to do with the message, but I just want to share it with you just to remind us. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 11, it says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. And it says, I have led thee in right paths. You know, there's a right way according to God. The Bible says that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And in life, even in your own life, there's a right way. There's a way of wisdom. And we know that if there's a way of wisdom, then there's a way of foolishness. And the Bible says this too, I have led thee, God's way is the right path. That indicates to me not only is there a right path, there's a wrong path. And it's difficult to ask God to bless the wrong path. And you know, when you're on the wrong path and you're asking God to get involved, you're asking Him to go against His very character, and He doesn't do that. So I encourage you, if maybe you're struggling in your faith or you're having a rough go, maybe it's not God that's the problem. Maybe it's what path and choice you have made in your own life. You know, some of the prayer requests are things that come across, certainly not the health ones, but you know, we're thinking about and praying for people, and man, life in itself is sometimes difficult. Why make it more complex and harder going against God's blessings? And just want to be a help and remind you about that. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 11. All right, Matthew chapter 9. So Pastor Russo, that's quite the outfit you got on tonight. Mrs. Russo's out of town. And so I got checkers. I got small checkers. I got stripes. And my socks go the other way too. So we just put on it. All right. Pretty much no matter where you go, whatever business you walk into, they are hiring right now. We mentioned this the other day. Everybody's hiring. It's tough to get people to sign up for a job when they pay you a lot of money to stay home. Roger, you're trying to hire people. You're even willing to send them to college, get a degree at your own expense, and they're still not taking it. And kind of a funny thing. You go anywhere, there's a help wanted sign. Unfortunately, we live in a society that lacks work ethic. And quite honestly, it doesn't mean much to them. Unfortunately. Now there is a contingency of a society that works hard and has worked diligently. And you're probably being tapped on to do more than what you signed up for. That's just because you're asked to carry more of the load than other people are there. And to which I say, thank you for holding that corner down. Matthew chapter 9, God is also looking for some help. It's funny, God can do anything. He's got all power. He could do it, but yet He still chooses to use you and I, which at some points just makes me scratch my head and go, why would you do that? Why would you ask me when you could just? But that is the Christian life, and that is the partnership that God has with us, to which we are thankful. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The Bible says in verse 36, but when He saw the multitude, a familiar thought with Jesus, He was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Here's the help wanted sign. Then He saith unto His disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into His harvest. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for tonight. God, thank You that we know that as we bring these requests, Lord, some of these requests are so heavy. People struggling, not just in their faith, but also in health. Some are fighting against You directly and being obstinate against salvation. Lord, and what else can we do but bring them to You? And Lord, it's good to know that as we bring these requests to You, that God, You have a plan and You have a purpose and You know what's going on. Lord, that gives us comfort. But God, tonight as we open up Your word, I pray that You would bless this service. I pray that You'd be honored and glorified. I pray that You would convict and chasten our heart that maybe we would take the sign down from the window and enlist in your job. Lord, your duty. God, that when you would come by our way, the laborers would not be few. Lord, I pray that you bless service here tonight, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we get down on, you know, it's maybe a similar thought, similar to like when we see the nation of Israel murmuring and complaining against Moses, and we go, how could they ever? Why would they? Didn't they see the ten plagues and the miracles and all that? Why would they complain against Moses? His face did shine like the after seeing the glory of God. Why the calf? Why all that stuff? And we get on them, and you know, we do the same thing. God has worked miracles in our life, and yet sometimes we still doubt in our faith and still maybe question what God is doing and murmuring and complaining against God's way. Similar here as we walk about and walk by business after business, and we can complain and we talk about, oh, this generation, no one works, nothing. And yet now we come to a scripture and God says, here, I got a problem amongst my people. Because he turns to his disciples, the Bible says. He says, I need some help. There's a job to be done, but unfortunately, the laborers are few. Tonight's message is called Help Wanted. We see a parallel here, kind of what we're going through as a society with what we see in the scriptures here. There's jobs all over, but no one's taking the sign off the window to say, I'm in. Sign me up. Because quite honestly, similar to society, I'd rather just sit back at home and get what I got for me rather than using myself for efforts for somebody else. And we see that. Now, we are a blessed church. We had that sign-up sheet for Dinner on the Grounds Sunday, which was a week before. By the end of service, that whole thing was about full. And our church loves our church. Sunday morning, we're going to have adult choir, and they're going to sing the Family of God song. And man, I love that. That's a blessing, and that's an encouragement. But I want you to ask yourself in your own life, hey, is there more I could do? Is this applicable to me? Is there harvest around me and I'm just kind of sitting back in the tractor, not turning the thing on? Am I sitting in the midst of a field that needs to be harvested and I'm not doing anything? That's a personal question that you have to ask yourself. But God, Christ Himself, looks about and He says, hey, there's much to do. We just don't have enough people to do it. Pastor Seatman and I have been visiting a lot of the farms lately, and we're trying to talk to some of the seasonal workers and letting them know that we have a Spanish-speaking service on Sunday morning. Kind of neat. This past week, we had a guy come walking in, wanted to buy our bus. Brother Seatman, we have a guy that wants to buy our bus, our big bus. I drove the big bus this week, just in the parking lot, but it was fun. I got my permit, and I'm trying to get my test, and every day, Pastor Seaman and I, we go out there and we go through all the parts of the bus and identify the, you know, all the parts of the bus. And but a guy wants to buy it. We'll see what he offers. Anyways, he's a worker. His name was Fernando. Tells me Mr. Buck invited him to our service on Sunday. There's people all around us. But are we looking for that? Are we quick to talk to someone? Ah, that's not for me. All right, let's examine this passage quickly. Number one, we have just a few points here tonight. They all start with the same letter, so hopefully it'll be easy to remember. Number one, we start with the harvest. Are there kids playing out there? Are there little kids? There was no kids? There's a ball out there. All right, very good. Are there kids with the ball? No. Okay. All right. The mice have learned to play kickball, is what it is. Number one, let's examine verse 37. It says this, 9:37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. The harvest. He looked out over the, he saw in verse 36 a multitude. There's a lot of people. And he called them the harvest. That means they are ready. Right now, who is it? Mrs. Rice, you posted something. You're planting stuff. Miss Megan, are you planting stuff? You ready for harvest? No harvest yet, though, right?
No.
It's not ready. God says there's a harvest right now. He said there are people. Hey, is he talking about crops? Is he talking about fruits and vegetables? No. He's talking about souls. He's talking about people that are ready for the gospel. That's what he's preaching, the gospel of the kingdom. And he says, hey, there's people all around you. The harvest truly is plenteous. Right now in the world, there's 7.67 billion people. Right now in the United States of America, there are 328 million people. In New York, there are 19.45 million people. In Monroe County, there are 741,000 people. In Hilton, there's 5,800 people. In Hamlin, there's 5,300. And in Brockport, there's 8,300 people. There's a multitude. There's a harvest of people. There are people that are ready for the gospel. If there would just be a worker to bring them the invitation. It's the gospel in which we bring. We are not promising financial success, although you start aligning to the scriptures and that'll help you. This is not you take Jesus and now you get blessings and all that. No. It's having your greatest problem resolved in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The harvest is ready. The Bible says that he uses the word, the harvest truly is plenteous. That means it is yielding in abundance. I love when it's harvest time. Like I said, we've been talking to a lot of the farmers lately, and you know what? They bring in a lot of people at the end of August. Do you know why that is? Because that's when everything's ready. And they need a lot of manpower. You know what? I feel like the Lord is, it's the end of August here. It's a season. It's a time. Hey, there are some people that are ready for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we just had workers to go out and tell them. And Christ says to his disciples, he wasn't talking to the multitude. He was talking to the followers of Christ, trying to get them to see the vision of the harvest. All too often we get so consumed with our own circumstances and our own life, we fail to consider the soul that's sitting right next to us. Ready for the gospel. Help wanted tonight. Number one, the harvest. Number two, the harvesters. He says this, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Few. Why so few of workers? Why is it so hard right now for a business to hire somebody? Man, you go 2 years ago and you open up the market like how it is, people would be lining up to get jobs. Why is it so hard right now? Because they've gotten comfortable where they're at. Why are so few Christians? Why is Christ having to tell his disciples that the laborers are few? What changed the view of the Lord? Well, not what changed. What does he draw attention to? It says this in verse 36. But when he saw the multitude, there's always multitudes, what moved him? Compassion on them. Why are there no workers? Maybe it's because, Or why is there a lack of workers? Or in your own heart, why are you hesitant to go tell someone else about the Lord Jesus Christ? Could I dare say tonight, and I'm not trying to accuse you, but if you had compassion for that one, maybe you'd be more quick to tell them. Because it was the compassion of Christ that prompted his actions. What do you love? Unfortunately, even in the church, even in Christianity, we love ourselves more than we love any other. I dare say the lack of harvesters is not because there's so few people, but could it be because of the lack of compassion, maybe even the lack of concern? We live in a very lucrative area, a very lucrative time. There's no, for the most part, no great needs any one person has. And we look around and we see the horizon and say, they're all set, they're all set, they're all set. But we're looking on the outside, not looking on the soul. And you know, the Lord reminds us in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 51, quoted often, mine eye affecteth mine heart. And maybe our lack of concern is because we're not really seeing people like how they are. Maybe we're not seeing the compassion. I dare say the greatest threat to the lost is not sin, but the lack of messengers who care. The greatest threat to the lost is not their sin, because there's hope for that. But what can you do if there's a lack of workers? Help wanted tonight. Number one, there's a multitude. It's plenteous. The harvest is great. Number two, unfortunately, Christ says there's a lack of workers. May I remind us of the urgency of the hour. It is now. Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says, in that, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Ever go on vacation at harvest time? Only to come back home and find all your tomatoes are, they're past. Cracked at the top. Is that what happens? When they go past, they crack at the top and then no good. And we got a watermelon the other day. Say, where'd you get a watermelon? I don't even want to talk about it. It was bad. I don't know how that got. I don't know. It wasn't good. Hey, what happens? What happens if that soul is ready and there's no one there to tell them about the Lord? What happens? I know the Lord works perfect work, but I just want you to see the urgency of it. Remember when that Ethiopian eunuch had an appointment with Philip? And God says, Philip, I need you to go right now and go over there. And he's like, I'm kind of busy. Can I do it later? Boom. Right then. The Bible says, I think he ran to him. You know what that shows me? Some urgency. What's your urgency like? Hey, I don't know what would have happened, and God works his perfect work, but if Philip didn't, what would have? If we fail to, what would happen? Oh, someone will get him down the road. Someone will pass that track off or tell them about the Lord. And I know the Lord was touching my heart, but, you know, I just don't feel comfortable yet. And the next person, hey, there's help wanted tonight. God says the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Today, if you know anything about gardening and harvesting, the window of opportunity, when it's ready, is short. Takes a long time in building, but then when it is time, there's nothing better than a fresh peach right off the, I can almost taste it. You know that juicy one when you have to lean over and bite it? There's like a 2 or 3 day window, and then it's done. Fresh strawberry right out, you know that first or second week of June, big, warm from the sun even. You pick that thing up. Come back a week later and, oh, that's not good anymore. There's urgency in the harvest. Don't just wait for the next guy. Be the next guy. Be the one that, hey, speaks up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Say, my life isn't perfect. I understand our lives aren't perfect, but that can't be the disqualifier all the time. Eventually, we're going to have to get over the hump and start telling people about the Lord, telling them about the gospel. Maybe that'll help our life straighten out a little bit. Help wanted tonight. There's a harvest. There's a lack of harvesters. There's an hour of urgency. And lastly, as we said, Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. If you want to get some help, say, I don't know what to do. Look at what the Bible says. Remember the problem. The problem isn't for the lack of Matthew chapter 9. The problem isn't for the lack of workers, nor is it for the lack of harvest. The problem was the lack of compassion in the workers. So what does God tell us in verse 38? He has an answer. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Pray. How about this? How about you pray and say, God, will you send somebody to the guy I work with every single day? And then you get to answer that prayer. You're that guy. You're that lady. Lord, will you please send someone with the truth of the gospel, King James Version, death, burial, and resurrection, no Wahoo crazy here, the real truth to my neighbor? That's you. That's us. But maybe the help comes in praying that God would equip your heart with that care and compassion. Because we know that there's not a lack of people, and we know that there's no lack of workers. The problem is that we need to find workers that care and are willing to step out of their comfort zone just for a moment and see the harvest. Once again, this Sunday is Friend Day. People are looking for a friend. This last year has been difficult. A lot of people have been ostracized from their friends. Maybe ready to make some new friends. We had a gentleman here on Sunday, and he was so nice. He asked Joe, it was at the end of service, and he says, what do we do now? Like he didn't know how service goes. And Joe's like, well, we usually sit around and talk for a little bit, and then we go home. He's like, okay, all right, thanks. Just didn't know. So there he was sitting. Hey, if you see someone sitting alone or comes to church and you don't know them, be friendly, go up, introduce yourself. Explain to them how things are going. If you notice that they don't have a Bible, sit next to them. Say, it's not my section. Well, you might have to step out of your section. Show them the verse. Show them how to sing. It wasn't for lack of laborers. It was lack of caring laborers. So tonight, maybe over the next few days, over the next week, over the next lifetime, you pray that God would give you a compassionate heart to labor for Him. Because there's help wanted. Let's all stand.